All right, if you will turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Our introductory message was last week, the first five verses. And at the end of the message, I said this: when things go from worse to worser, look up. God is going to do something. Well, they got as worse can be. When we left off, the whole family of Elimelech, had been taken in death except for Naomi. And now things are going to change. The book of Ruth is an account, historical account, focusing on the kinsman redeemer who will be Boaz. We have not come to the section on Boaz as of yet, but it focuses upon him. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, and as such is a type of Christ. But he marries Ruth. So he is the bride, or she is the bride, typically, of the Lord Jesus Christ, which typically makes her representative of the church. So that's what we're going to be looking for. Interesting, before Boaz comes on the scene, we see Ruth in the history of this book, known to God, and known exactly who she was, where she was, where she was going, and what she would do. And tonight we're going to see that they start a journey back to Bethlehem. But in reality, there's another journey that's going on. It's a spiritual journey. It's a journey from Ruth's faithlessness to a place of faith in the God of salvation. Verse 6 begins this way: then she, now that would be Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. First thing that we see here is there is a declaration of good news. They had been down in Moab for 10 years. It probably seemed like an eternity to Naomi. And everything there went wrong. And as I suggested last week, I believe they were out of the will of God in being there, at least on a continuing basis. But now they hear good news. Hey, there's food back home. Whenever there is good news, you have an opportunity for good things to happen, a good response. But without the preaching of the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is impossible for anyone to be in a saved condition. At some point in time, for a person to be saved, they must respond to the preaching of the gospel. Now, the preaching can be orally. It can be through the distribution of a written tract or picking up of a Bible. But somehow, they're coming in contact with the Word of God. Without the preaching of the Word, it is impossible for a person to believe. For Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what we have here is, if you will, not only the good news that there's bread back in Bethlehem, but typically speaking, here's good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the provision of salvation for this family. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of that place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Naomi says, I've heard the good news. I'm going home. And the two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, said, we're going with you. That is not a declaration of faith. It is only a curiosity of faith. Why in the world would they go back with Naomi? Well, I think they were curious about what Bethlehem was like. Maybe it's a really nice place in which to live. And more than likely, they had heard stories from Elimelech and from Mahlon and Chilion and from Naomi herself, how that when they were living back in Bethlehem, how life was good for them and so forth. And they said, well, maybe Bethlehem's a whole lot better than what we have here. Maybe they said, we don't know of the continuing abundance of food in this area. And if there's more food up there, hey, that's the place to be. We have security up there. But what they didn't say was that this is the place where God wants us to be. Their faith at this point was non-existent. There was only a curiosity about the good news that they heard. And Naomi is saying to these women, why in the world would you go with me? I surely appreciate how kind you have been to me. You've suffered as well as me, but you supported me in my suffering. And you got to remember that not only did Naomi lose her husband and her two sons, but these two women lost both of their husbands too. And consequently, they were in a destitute place. There was no social security, no state welfare or anything, no WIC programs or anything like that to keep them going. They were dependent upon their mother-in-law, and their mother-in-law didn't have a husband, so she was dependent upon God. And they're really, from a rational standpoint, now by rational I mean human reasoning apart from faith in the provision of God. From a rational standpoint, there was no reason to go with Naomi. And she is going to, at this point, encourage them to respond rationally. Verse 10, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go to your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now, I'm going to come back to Naomi's spiritual condition in just a moment. But she is thinking rationally, and she's telling her daughters-in-law to think rationally. I'm an old person, she is saying. Now, you have to understand, she's been married. She's had grown children who have gotten married. So she is at least 40 years old, which back then was starting to hit the peak of your existence. Maybe she was older than that. But she's saying at this point in time, I'm too old to get married again. But even if I would have a husband tonight and have the ability to produce sons, it's going to be another 16, 17, 18 years until the first one is of marriageable age. Are you willing to wait around that long and marry somebody that much younger than you? And the second one of you, whoever it may be, would have to wait even longer. Makes no sense whatsoever. Guess what? Rationally speaking, it doesn't. But here's the problem. Naomi was limiting how God could supply. The only way that God could supply for these two girls was that if she would have a husband and produce more sons, and they would be elaborate marriages that Scripture speaks of. We know better than that. We've read the book before. God's going to provide in other ways. But that's the thing. She's thinking rationally. A person of faith will think super rationally. Not that you dispute what is rational, but you say, that may be true, but God. And in discouraging these girls from going with her, she is going to be separating the chaff from the wheat. She is going to be finding out who is there among these two, if any, that will exhibit true faith in the provision of God. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Here is a woman who heard of the good news, but did not believe and went back to worshiping her gods, as many people will. Isn't it a sad thing? Appreciate my wife's testimony tonight. I didn't know she was going to say that, but it fits real well with my message here. That God would be willing to save any of us. It's an astonishing thing, isn't it? And yet that's the astonishing aspect of the love of God. And how people can hear of such an amazing love, how can it be? And say, no, I don't want any parts of that. That's even more amazing. But Orpah did. Well, you're right. On a rational level, you're right. And there's nothing more than rational thinking. My super liberal high school buddy that I often refer to, I was just right before supper tonight, I was just cruising through Facebook to see what was going on. And he had a picture of Albert Einstein. And the caption that was underneath it was that everywhere that Einstein went, he was always met with a singular question. Do you believe in the existence of God? And Einstein's answer was always, I believe in the God of Spinoza. Now, if you know who Spinoza was, he was a rationalist. And basically, Spinoza said there is no such thing as a supernatural God. All that we have is right here and now, what the mind can understand. How sad. How sad. That was Orpah. All I can understand is the here and now. All I can understand is what my mind can rationally conceive. I can't go beyond that. And she left and went back to her own gods. But Ruth clave. Stuck to Naomi. And Naomi said, look, there goes your sister-in-law. You might as well too. And now we see a statement of faith. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Don't ask me any more to go away from you. My mind is made up. Oftentimes when I speak to people about the Lord and who need to come to salvation, when they make some type of a gesture towards believing the Lord Jesus Christ, I try to discourage them to see if they really mean business. And when a person says, hey, look, this is what I now believe, I know I got the right one. And that's Ruth. Look at her statement. I will go. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodgest or live, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Not only that, where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if nothing but death part thee with me. Wherever you go, I'm going to stick to you. Whatever you believe, I'm going to believe. The God that you have, that has provided for you, I am trusting to provide for me. He will be my God. Your people will be my people. Because your people are better than mine. And I want what's best. That's a statement of faith. It's at this point that Ruth comes to what I believe symbolically or typically as to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she hasn't met Boaz as yet. She's heard about the good news, and she's trusted in that. It's a sad thing what happens after this, verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Man, she's been gone a long time. She's gotten old. No, they didn't say that. They were just amazed to see her back. They never thought they'd see her again. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And I say, hold the bus. Let's analyze what she said. Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter, because the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Well, to a certain extent, that's true. But why? She said, I went out full. Well, if you were full, why in the world would you go out? The reason you went out is because you were empty. You had nothing to eat. There was no bread in the land. There was a famine. And you said, I can't find fulfillment here of my physical needs. I'm going elsewhere where they have bread. I'm leaving the provision of God in my life, and I'm going where rationally it makes sense. I went out full. Well, that's not true. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And if I was Ruth standing next to her, I would say, what am I, chopped liver? She came home with a daughter-in-law who had just come to faith in the God who provides salvation. She should be jumping up and down with joy. Call me bitter, because the Lord hath afflicted me. Well, yes, he did. Why did he do that? Well, as I contended last week, I think they were out of the will of God in going down to Moab, at least on a permanent basis, on a continuing basis. They should have remained. Bethlehem is the house of bread. They should have remained where God would provide and trust in him. But they said, no man's provision is better than God's, and they left. I think God righteously was bringing trials and tribulations into their life to get them back to the place where they were. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Why was Ruth so bitter? Not only was she thinking only on the rational level, but three other things that I see here about her thinking. She focused on what she had lost rather than what she had. I still have my life. The God whom I have trusted still has a place for me. I think they blew it royally in the will of God. And yet God never said, well, I'm done with you. God was always willing to receive them back home. Do you realize that no matter how bad we may mess up our lives, God is still willing to forgive us? Isn't that wonderful? I don't have anything. You have a God who still loves you. You have a daughter-in-law who just came to faith in him. Not only that, she saw only the present. Here's what I have. She doesn't see her life getting any better. I'm back, but you know, what's my existence going to be? She was then blind to the opportunities of the future. Look, when they came back, it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. The storehouse will soon be full. And by the mercies of God, there will be food for you. Oh, and down the road, there's a kinsman redeemer that's going to come into your daughter's life who's a very rich person. Naomi never realized the value of what lay in Bethlehem as a kinsman redeemer for her daughter-in-law, and that she would one day be related to one of the richest men in the country. Problem is, she didn't realize how rich her God was. She focused on what she had lost rather than what she had. She saw only the present and was blind to the opportunities of the future. And consequently, she was bitter. Here is this new believer who I think at this point in time, certainly she was at the very least uncertain of what the future held for her. But I think she looked at it with anticipation. And here's this woman who's been associated with the Lord for years and is bitter. What's wrong with this story? Well, in the end, I think that the problem with Naomi is at this point she didn't yet recognize her sin of leaving. And until that sin is confessed, there can be no joy. I think towards the end of the story, she will recognize that and the joy will be there. But nonetheless, here's a story of good news. A woman who hears the good news, who makes a declaration of faith in the provider of the good news and becomes the bride, one of the richest men in the country. That's the story of you and I if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You didn't know you were in the Old Testament book, did you? But you're there. And ain't that good? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful story, at least from the standpoint of Ruth. Thank you that she was a person who would respond to the good news, come to faith in the God of her salvation. And Lord, we would pray that as we become bearers of good news, that you'll use us to win others to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Lord, we pray that when there are those who turn away, that we would not be overcome with despair, because we just know it's going to happen. May we not be those who look at life and just think on the rational level, but may we see the God who is far above that which the mind can comprehend, and place our trust in you for the days that are ahead of us. Lord, we know that even if this world, as prophesied, will get worse and worse, we know that we have a bright and wonderful future that lies before us. So may we be found faithful in living our days in the joy of Jesus Christ and the righteousness that you have provided for us to share with the world. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.